WTNY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. Folks, we've got some very heavy issues to talk about on the broadcast today. And it's not really my desire to continue to address the topic of what's going on in our society as it relates to a very aggressive LGBT agenda. But I'll tell you this, the issues are unrelenting. And as a watchman on the wall, it is critical for us to provide you information and alert you to matters going on so that you can be engaged in fervent prayer, so that you can become informed and then inform your churches, so that you can be involved in conversation with those who represent you, so that you can alert your children and your grandchildren to the attacks that are targeting, yes, the authority of Scripture, what God has said in His Word on areas pertaining to marriage and those who pervert it, on areas pertaining to how He created us as either male or female, and to those who are seeking to erase the very distinctions of those who are wanting to educate our youth in a way that opposes a biblical worldview. And so we've got a lot of heavy things to talk about, a lot of current events that are going on this issue. And friends, we're bringing back Peter LaBarber today, President of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Peter, thank you for being willing to join us on the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, some things we talk about today are going to be rather shocking, some alarming, some will continue to show the very intolerance of this movement, Peter. But let's begin. The wife of the vice president, Karen Pence, coming under attack for teaching art at a Christian school. And the attacks are coming because the school is following the Bible on issues pertaining to sexuality and marriage.
Yes, Jim. This has a special importance to me. I used to go to the church Manual Bible that's affiliated with that Christian school. And what I'm seeing with the relentless LGBTQ, and Q stands for queer, according to them, they're using that word, attack on Mike Pence is, Pence is the punching bag. The Pence family is the punching bag for all conservative Christians, all Bible-believing Christians. And they are using Mike Pence and his entire family to beat up on conservative Christians, and it's a classic leftist tactic. They have not relented one bit since the moment Pence joined the Trump ticket. There have been some nasty protests. Remember, at his temporary home in D.C. before he moved into the vice presidential mansion, they had these so-called gay dance parties with men gyrating and evil stuff. They've attacked his daughter. Now they're attacking his wife merely for teaching at a Christian school. And of course the media, because they're part of the gay lobby now, the homosexual movement, the media just echoes what the gay activists say, and they just frame this entire thing as, she's working at a school that, quote, discriminates against LGBTQ. The media has just adopted the gay activist framework on this and every other story.
Now, folks, I hope you understand what we're talking about here. Underscore what Peter has just said. This is not only an attack upon Karen Pence, but this is an attack upon churches and Christian schools as well. Because what they're saying is, schools, you are intolerant here. Churches, you are intolerant. There is a statement, Peter, that came out from Sarah Kate Ellis, the president and CEO at GLAAD, and she is calling upon Emmanuel Christian School to abandon its policy that discriminates against LGBTQ students. This is a direct attack upon Christian schools, a direct attack upon churches, Peter.
Yes, and we have to see that what they're doing is they're just saying, they're reframing this as religious-based discrimination. That's what they call it, religious-based bigotry. The underlying goal of all of this is to negate Christianity. That's at the heart of the LGBTQ lobby, because they know that Christians who believe the Bible, and the Bible is very clear that homosexual practice is immoral, and the good news is it can be overcome and changed. It's not an identity. It's not how you're born. It's a behavior that can be changed, but it's a sinful behavior. They know that teaching hurts their movement, and so what they want to do is now penetrate the churches, stigmatize the churches and the schools that believe in traditional teachings, and they malign them. And this is just a very bad example of that, Jim.
Friends, we're going to move on to another issue because there is much going on. And we're going to take you into the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, a meeting that took place 1 week ago today, January 17th, 2019. In this committee, the chair of this committee, I mean, and here as it comes out from the Daily Wire, California knows no bounds when it comes to radical LGBT activism. On Thursday, 1 week ago, State Senator and Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Hannah Beth Jackson announced that only gender-neutral pronouns will be permitted during committee hearings. You cannot go in there in this committee hearing, no legislator, nobody giving public testimony. They're forbidden to use pronouns like he and she. Let's listen in to this committee hearing.
A quorum is present, and our first order of business is to approve the committee rules. I'd like to note, in respecting the fact that we are now a state recognizing the non-binary designation as a gender, he and she, we are now merging them so that we are using what my grammar teacher would have had a heart attack over. We are using the phrase they and replacing other designations so that it's a gender-neutral designation of they. And we've done that through most of the, basically that's the primary reforms and revisions to the committee rules. So, and I appreciated Senator Mawning observing that the chair is she, but in the spirit of gender neutrality for the rules of this committee, it now designates the chair as they. So the world is a different place. My grammar teacher is long gone, and I won't be hearing from her. And if any of you... From them, exactly. From they. But for any of you who may hear from an old grammar teacher, blame it on me.
Okay, now here we have the committee chair speaking. As a matter of fact, she can't even keep her own rules, refer to her grammar teacher as her. But Peter, this is outrageous. And they went through, she then held a roll call vote, and the committee voted to pass these new rules. You cannot use he or she pronouns.
Yeah, Jim, I'm dumbstruck by how stupid and evil and totalitarian liberalism is becoming. They're imposing their crazy morality, and now the pronoun police dictating what words can be said. And, Jim, you know they want to do this writ large to the entire nation.
Yes, they do.
We already see Twitter saying they're going to ban people for, quote, misgendering. Misgendering is just referring to, say, a biological male who pretending that he's a woman, a transgender, through transgenderism, referring to him as a he. You are guilty of misgendering. This is a totalitarian agenda that now wants to override nature and nature's God, and they won't stop at anything because they believe they are the ones in the right, and they don't care what anybody else thinks.
Peter, this is not only just a case of where they're saying it's misgendering, but some are wanting to take it to the level of a hate crime.
Oh, absolutely, Jim. That's what they're going to do. If you say Bruce Jenner is still a man, he was born a male, and he always will be a male, you can't change your DNA, even if you can go back and change your birth certificate, which is nuts. But absolutely, Jim, they're going to try to criminalize. And what's so ironic is this is the same left that once said to people like Jerry Falwell, remember, don't impose your morality, Jim. Don't you bad Christians impose your Christian morality on the rest of us. Now they're imposing their pseudo-morality, their genderless morality, their homosexuality morality. They are using the power of the state to impose that on everybody, and they are taking away our liberty in the process.
And folks, don't just think this is the secular world doing it. I mean, here, Peter, there was just a pastor released, let go, forced out of his church because of his putting up a sign on the marquee saying Bruce Jenner is still a man and homosexuality is still sin.
Right, and there was nothing in that sign that was not biblical, and yet that pastor was forced out. And God bless him, he's a godly man. He says he doesn't want any fame. I can't remember his name, Jim. Hote, I think, yeah. Pastor Hote. But here he is sacked, and so the church supposedly a Bible-believing church ends up following the dictates of the politically correct world rather than honoring the Bible.
Folks, so we're going to continue that. Now, that happened in California. Also in California, the whole educational front for California students is certainly in the crosshairs here as well. Here's the headline. California may teach kindergartners there are 15 genders. Right now, that there is the California Department of Education and the California State Board of Education, they're in the process of revising their 2019 health education curriculum framework for California public schools. This health education framework serves as a guideline for implementing the content standards adopted by the State Board of Education health education curricula, and the final draft of the framework to be adopted this May 2019. And Peter, I've seen some of the things that they seek to put in there, but some of it is teaching children starting in kindergarten that there are 15 genders. They've got all these recommended children's books, My Princess Boy, Who Are You? The Kid's Guide to Gender Identity, and on this goes. But this is really, Peter, again, young children as young as 5 years old in the crosshairs of the educational establishment.
Right, and this is the LGBTQ left, which is confusing and corrupting kids, playing with their minds. These are kids who don't, these are children. They don't know anything about homosexuality or gender confusion, and they are foisting this radical gender rebellion, and gender confusion on these impressionable children. And this is the left's agenda. And Jim, I can only hope that across this country, Americans, everyday Americans, see where the threat is. The threat comes from the left.
Folks, it's a wake-up call, a wake-up call. Peter, one other issue here from California, there's many, but one more, and that is in LifeSiteNews.com, had the story of the wife of the newly minted California Governor Gavin Newsom. Jennifer Sibel Newsom announced on the governor's official website that she will be known as First Partner instead of First Lady. Very interesting indeed as they deal again with this gender issue.
Yeah, Jim, isn't it amazing how now they're demonizing words like lady, her, and him, and she, and he, these liberal leftist LGBTQ pronoun police, and all the people like this. And what's amazing, Jim, is heterosexuals who support this radical agenda, they say they see themselves as being good people when they do this. So when you say it's wrong, they act like you're attacking them. See, they see this as a moral crusade, like they're doing what's right, and we cannot underestimate that because they are the same people who are calling Jim, people like me and you, haters. They're not afraid to put us down as they push this radical agenda.
Peter LaBarbera is our guest today. He's president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And friends, in just seconds, we're going to be taking a break. And when we come back, we're going to move from California to the state of New York to make you aware of a vote that just happened yesterday. And then we're going to be moving to Washington, D.C. to tell you about a National Trans Visibility March on Washington, D.C. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar Speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different types of animals did Noah take on board the ark?
Chris, detractors from the biblical flood story say that there were way too many animals to have fit on board the ark. But not so. Let's look carefully. First off, we need to recognize that most animals live in the ocean and would not have to be on board the ark. They would survive, at least in representative numbers, outside the ark. By the way, Noah didn't even have to take two of every species. The Bible says two of every kind, probably a broader category which might include a number of species, like the dog kind. Altogether, I suspect that there were probably less than 20,000 animals on board the ark. This was difficult for Noah, but not impossible. At least that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Folks, another wake-up call given today here on Crosstalk as LGBT activism is on the increase. Peter LaBarbera with us on Crosstalk today addressing these issues. As we mentioned, we're moving from California to New York right now with some stories. As The Hill reports, the New York State Legislature voted yesterday to ban conversion therapy. Peter, we understand that it passed in the state Senate a vote of 57-4, and in the New York State Assembly by a vote of 134-3, according to NBC News. And the bill now going to Governor Cuomo's desk, and he is just chomping at the bit to sign this into law.
Yeah, Jim. I mean, I don't understand these votes. You're telling me there's only four or five Republicans who, I mean, what about the Republican platform? Four or five Republicans who are voting against these radical bills, which really take away freedom. I mean, I don't see how these bills survive a constitutionality test. This is talk therapy. They're talking about talk therapy for minors to help them achieve a normal sexual identity, natural and normal, pro-heterosexual. And imagine, Jim, under these bills, imagine if you were a parent and you had a son, for example, a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old boy who was molested by a homosexual adult male predator. Under these bills, you could not take that son of yours to a pro-heterosexual therapist. In other words, you don't want your son to think that he's homosexual because he was abused. This is what these bills do. This is the practical effect, and here they are passing them with overwhelming majorities. I think the Republican Party is giving up on the truth on this issue, and it's very sad.
It is sad indeed, and to know that the number of young people that are going to be impacted by this across New York State and families that are going to be impacted by this just passed into law. We understand as early as next week, Governor Cuomo will be signing this into law. But we're going to now travel to Washington, D.C. area for this story, and it is, a matter of fact, there's a whole website set up on this issue, Peter, the National Trans Visibility March on Washington, D.C. It's going to be happening on Sunday, March 31st, and on Monday, April Fool's Day, the National Trans Visibility March, descending on D.C. to march in solidarity and support of equal rights and inclusion, they say, for our community. I just want to share this from their site. Together we will deconstruct the policies, laws, and systems that have jeopardized the health and safety of ourselves and our families. Folks, that's buzzwords. They want to deconstruct, meaning this is an all-out attack upon what Scripture says, what the Church has taught on this, family values. Together we will call out and stand against anyone who discriminates or initiates acts of violence against one of us, because when they discriminate against one of us, it affects all of us. We will ignite and initiate change at every turn and hope that each of you will stand with us and join in this effort when we take our movement to the streets of Washington, D.C. and other metropolitan areas on March 31st, 2019 and April 1, 2019. The date will mark the beginning of our very first steps together, but will definitely not be our last. We will meet every year on Transgender Visibility Day and will make our voices heard locally, nationally, and globally in solidarity as one. Peter, your comment.
Well, these are the Young Turks of the LGBTQ movement. They're using the same exact tactics that the homosexual lobby did to achieve such power. And unfortunately, Jim, I think I'm safe in saying that the transgender movement, the transgender lobby, spends more money than the entire pro-family movement does in fighting all of these issues. So even though it's comical that they chose April Fool's Day to hold their march, because I think it is folly and foolishness for a man to believe he can become a woman or be a woman, I mean, that's just against nature. It's just foolishness. And it's ridiculous, of course. You can't change your DNA. But we cannot underestimate the power that this movement will achieve, and especially since you've got groups like the Human Rights Campaign, the largest homosexual lobby group, they are all now using their power to fund and push this transgender movement on the country.
Peter, since we're on this issue, just today the Washington Free Beacon is reporting that the National Institutes of Health is spending over $450,000, that's our tax dollars, folks, to provide transgender women of color financial tips and gender transition supports. Virginia Commonwealth University began the project last year that studies economically disadvantaged male-to-female transgender individuals in Richmond, Virginia and St. Louis, Missouri. The study will recruit transgender women as key informants to assess their current experiences and preferences. Peter, over $450,000 financial support for transgender women of color? This is outrageous.
Yeah, well, Jim, we're 2 years into the Trump administration. Why is this still going on? It reminds me of the embassies that continue to fly the rainbow flag, even under Trump, even though, you know, so these, I don't know if this is Obama holdovers or if this is just the entrenched left-wing bureaucracy, but this is preposterous. Americans do not want their taxpayer dollars spent on promoting gender confusion.
The collegefix.com reporting Harvard Medical School recently unveiled a project called the Sexual and Gender Minorities Health Equity Initiative, styled as a three-year plan to amend the core MD curricula to reflect recent beliefs about transgenderism and gender ideology. The program is meant to teach medical students how to provide high-quality, holistic health care for sexual and gender minority patients of all ages. Harvard Medical School, Peter.
Yeah, Jim, it's everywhere. And this is why we can't lose hope. We have to pray and hope that the truth will have a comeback in this country. And so if you're listening and you're feeling, so much, I can't fight all this. Of course, it's a lot. And America has turned from God. But remember, in these dark times, the truth shines even brighter. The light of truth, God's truth, has a greater power in these confusing times because people see that we are in possession of what's right, and so we have to be more bold than ever in proclaiming the truth and God's love and God's character amidst all this confusion.
From townhall.com, Stanford University hosted an open house last Friday to showcase its new all-gender locker room. According to the Stanford Daily, the new facility created by tearing down the already existing men's and women's locker rooms. Now instead there are three private showers with changing rooms, one dry changing room, five private bathroom stalls, and day-use lockers. Men and women now sharing the same facility. Peter, this is happening in many, many different venues.
Yeah, and why would you do that? I mean, to accommodate a tiny, tiny, confused, radical minority? I mean, it just is incredible to me, Jim. What is going on? It's like you cannot trust any of the institutions anymore. They're all bending to the transgender movement just like they bent to the gay lobby, and let's just hope that common sense ultimately prevails against this.
And then we go to the Christian Post, a public university in Ohio, letting people use whatever bathroom facility they deem they need to use in order to create a more inclusive environment, and has also converted nearly two dozen restrooms into all-gender bathrooms. Wright State University in Dayton has granted universal access, allowing individuals to use the restroom that corresponds to their sex, gender identity, and or gender expression in order to comply with the university's discrimination policy and its interpretation of Title IX law. Another location there, Peter.
Yes, and Trump, to his credit, got rid of Obama's radical gender code that he tried to impose on the schools. But what we're seeing here is just a concerted effort, and the universities are the worst of all, of course, but it's happening at lower levels of education as well, right down to elementary school now. We're seeing this activism. And, Jim, we just have to stand strong against all this. And I think the good news here is that I think more and more Americans, be they Christian or secular or just moral people, or just those possessing common sense, are seeing that this is crazy and this is an insane movement And that we must stand against it.
And how this hits the private sector as well. Let's quickly go back to Washington, D.C. This is from The Blaze. Washington, D.C. restaurant Cuba Libre has been hit with a $7,000 fine. What did they do, folks? Well, they questioned a transgender activist who used its women's restroom, and the manager tried to insist that the patron show identification proving to be female. This was a male identifying as female, and because of the D.C. restaurant's questioning, both going in and going, just a regular employee question going in, a manager was there when the individual came out, and now fined $7,000, and also we understand required to put up signs that state that they can use the restrooms of the gender that, or the bathroom that aligns with their gender identity. Peter, this is going to happen to restaurants all across the nation.
Right, and Jim, let's remember why it's happening. It's happening because of radical sexual orientation, gender identity, non-discrimination code law that was passed in the District of Columbia. So these laws that are passed in the name of fighting discrimination actually promote their own form of discrimination. And it's against Christians, it's against people with common sense, it's against those who don't want to see, who think it's insane to let a biological man into a woman's restroom. These are the people now being discriminated against.
Let's get to the state of Texas now, and this is from the Dallas Morning News. And here is the story, Peter. Five women lawmakers have decided to form the Texas legislature's first LGBTQ caucus. State Rep. Mary Gonzalez will serve as the group's chair. In an interview with the Dallas Morning News, she hopes the caucus will advance bills that are transformative for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Texans across the state. Never before has this happened in Texas. It is now for the first time, Peter.
Yeah, Jim, and the left and the Democratic Party, the left-leaning Democratic Party, they are trying to make Texas turn Democrat, go left, and they're working very hard at it. And so if you're in Texas or if you're in any conservative state, don't presume that this radical agenda can't come to your state as well.
Okay, let's go to New Hampshire. A bill introduced that would make it easier for transgender people to change their birth certificates. And, Peter, we're seeing this happen in different venues whereby just upon no medical, you know, no trauma doctor, none of this, but just by you stating this, you can go have records changed. And that is being proposed right now for New Hampshire. We have New Hampshire listeners right now, and they're going to want to stay plugged into this. It's House Bill 446 in the state of New Hampshire. But, again, this this whole identity issue and changing birth certificates is a movement happening across this nation.
Yeah, and Jim, I think this is, you know, the left talks about science, the idea that you can go back and change history. I mean, according to this line of thinking, if Bruce Jenner did this, which I think he did, by the way, I think Bruce Jenner went back and changed his birth certificate. Well, that means he competed falsely in the Olympics, right? Because his birth certificate says he was born female, and yet he competed as a male in the Olympics. Should he give those medals back, Jim? I mean, you can't go back and change history.
Yeah. Let me get one other issue in before the break, and some of you listening no doubt get Parents Magazine. Well, their February cover is a first for the magazine, Peter, as they are featuring the first ever to feature a same-sex parents on the front cover of Parents Magazine for the February issue.
Well, yeah, I think you're going to see that everywhere, just like we saw the commercial recently. I think it was Infinity. With the two dads, instead of a man and a woman saying goodbye to the babysitter, it was two dads. We're going to see more and more, whether it's magazines or TV commercials, promoting this radical agenda.
Folks, a couple more stories after the break, and we're going to find out, there are some who are seeking to put a stop to some of this advancement. We'll tell you about those efforts coming up after the break. Peter LaBarbera is with us from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. We'll be right back.
For over 200 years, the American judicial system has upheld a standard so strong that a person's very life can be ended based on this level of confidence. It is a verdict supported by evidence that is beyond a reasonable doubt. Did you know there is evidence demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that we have a creator? Most are unaware because it has been censored from textbooks. But now, you can have this information at your fingertips. In the beautifully illustrated hardcover book, Have You Considered? Evidence Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Bruce Malone and Julie Von Vett provide a series of unique devotions presenting evidence for every day of the year that points to the Creator. Evidence from biology, paleontology, botany, anatomy, and other scientific disciplines. Have You Considered? Is available for a donation of $16 or more from VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, as I said, it's a heavy topic, heavy program today, but it's imperative upon us to inform you as to what is going on across this nation. It's not isolated to a single location. Look, I mean, we've covered stories from California to New Hampshire, New York, and Texas, and D.C., and on the list goes. Peter LaBarbera is with us today, and Peter, there's a story that also is not gaining attraction here across the nation as far as I have seen, but we have here from WWeek.com, and this is regarding Terry Bean, the Oregon gay rights pioneer, leading Democratic fundraiser, has been reindicted. This is a headline, reindicted on sex abuse charges. What do we know?
Jim, this is an amazing story. Terry Bean is a huge mega donor for the Democratic Party. He was a big donor to Obama. He was also a co-founder of the Human Rights Campaign, the largest homosexual activist lobby group. And he was responsible for them, a big part of them building their huge swank headquarters in Washington, D.C. And here he is reindicted on this charge of, now this is when he was in his 60s, Jim, as I understand it, in a sexual act with a 15-year-old boy. And they had these charges, and they were going to bring them forward, and then there was he was allowed to basically settle out, and there was a payment of over $200,000 that was to be made to the victim here. And so, in other words, it was a strange case, and one of the prosecutors said he never before saw a case this serious that was allowed to be settled. Well, now it turns out maybe the boy will testify against Bean. This is allegedly, of course, this is alleged that he committed this pedophile crime, but this is a high powered homosexual activist, Democratic donor, and of course the media outside of the locale where this happened is hardly reporting this at all.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there was a Lane County grand jury that voted to reindict Bean on these same charges just January 4th. The story says it's unclear what prompted the change in circumstances, but indeed, this is a story that the homosexual activists are not shouting loud and clear across this nation, but people need to know, Peter.
Yeah, Jim, Terry Bean, there's a video on I think it was on the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign's YouTube site, in which he was honored and given the highest honor of the Human Rights Campaign. So this is an esteemed homosexual activist who is charged with this heinous crime of being involved in a sexual relationship with a boy, a minor boy. And where's the media now? Where is the media attention on this, especially in this Me Too movement that we hear a lot about? And here now we're seeing, and this comes right after, Jim, another homosexual activist named Ed Buck was, he's another big Democratic gay donor activist, and a man was found dead, and turns out he was a drug user and a hustler. A young black man was found in this homosexual activist's apartment. And so, you know, it's out there, but the media are loath to cover it.
Just a quick note, we covered a story on the ban on conversion therapy in New York. Incidentally, Liberty Counsel is involved in they just filed a federal lawsuit seeking preliminary and permanent injunction against Maryland's new law that prohibits minors from receiving voluntary counseling. And you can be praying about this issue going forth from Liberty Counsel against the state of Maryland. Peter, there's, as we said, there's those, you know, there are some elements whereby the forces of darkness are being held up against, and one of which was a decision that came down from the U.S. Supreme Court that allows President Trump to put into place his ban on those who are gender confused seeking to serve in the military.
Yeah, this is a version of that. Remember when Trump initially announced that on Twitter? And one of the important things this ban does, and it's kind of a partial ban, Jim, because it's currently serving so-called open transgenders are allowed to continue serving, but this would preclude the American taxpayer from funding and paying for these awful so-called gender reassignment surgeries, whereby somebody who's biologically one sex tries to become another sex through surgery. So under Trump's plan, if it's held up ultimately, and this also the Supreme Court allowed the state other cases being heard on this to go forward. So we must hope and pray that this is not overturned ultimately, but this stops us, American taxpayers, from funding these awful body disfiguring surgeries, and that's a blessing, I think.
Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Folks, your reaction to these stories today, I'd like to hear from you. While you're calling, let me also mention something going on in South Dakota right now. Peter, their legislature's in session, and the Sioux Falls Argus leader is reporting that legislation is aimed at transgender students participating in South Dakota high school athletics, just introduced this past Monday, or a week ago Monday. But the Senate bill would void the South Dakota High School Activities Association policy that was adopted back in 2015. That policy, adopted just 4 years ago, allows transgender students to participate on sports teams that reflect their gender identity rather than biological sex. Well, this new bill that's been introduced in South Dakota, that the student's sex on their birth certificate would be the sole determinant of which sports teams that student may participate on. A couple of Republicans have put that forth in South Dakota, saying, listen, if your birth certificate says boy, you're going to be on the boys' team. If it says girl, you're on the girls' team.
Well, Jim, this is really a welcome development, and hopefully we'll see more legislation like this. Americans are just shocked that they're actually seeing biological males stealing victories from genuine females in these athletic competitions. It's happening at the adult level, it's happening at the high school level, and it's absurd, of course. And this is something that transcends party, that transcends partisanship, Jim. It just makes no sense that biological males, who are naturally more stronger than females, are allowed to compete in this just because they call themselves female. And so I think we need more creative legislation like this to turn back the tide of this transgender insanity.
Peter, one more thing before we go to the phones, and that is you are involved in promoting the God's Voice Conference in Oklahoma City, February 22nd and 23rd. Tell us about it.
Yes, the God's Voice Conference, February 22nd, 23rd in Edmond, Oklahoma, just north of Oklahoma City. This is a wonderful thing, and it's responding to this thing that's coming like a freight train, Jim, this threat of pro-LGBTQ so-called Christianity. There's a movement. There was a conference called Revoice, which was promoting this idea that even if you don't practice homosexual behavior, which they still regard as sinful, that we should identify LGBTQ individuals as a sexual minority in the church. And, Jim, I know you agree with me that that's insane, because where else in the church do we recognize a minority, so-called, based in sin? And so this is I'll be speaking, and we have many other fine speakers. Stephen Black, who's an ex-gay leader. We have David Pickup, who's a specialist on this reparative therapy and these efforts to ban that all over the country. We'll all be speaking, and we're trying to give voice to, we don't want this LGBTQ so-called Christianity to penetrate the Christian church.
And where can our listeners get more information on that?
The website, Jim, is www.godsvoice, GodsVoice.us, GodsVoice.us.
Okay, and Peter, your site?
My site is Americans for Truth, F-O-R, AmericansForTruth.com.
Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Julie calling in from Pensacola, Florida. Hi, Julie, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question concerning this matter. I have always thought that perhaps maybe men turn gay because they don't have their fathers at home and they just don't have an upbringing like that. But I'm seeing more and more of that happening in homes that do have their fathers, and even yet, homes that have Christian values within them. And it's kind of confusing. How does this even start in the brain of a person to become, you know, gay or LGBTQIN or whatever? How does it start in their mind? And then how, you know, maybe if you had any insight that you can give parents that maybe we could, like, have heads up, hey, there's something wrong, let's, you know, stop this before it really goes bad.
Okay, Peter?
Okay, well, two things. Number one, there's always been a theory, and I think there's a lot of basis for it in reality, that homosexuality can arise out of certain types of, you know, dysfunction in the home. For example, a distant father, an overbearing mother, or over-controlling, or even the child perceiving that the dad doesn't love him. But, of course, we can't say that causes it, because there are any number of ways that a person can go into homosexuality. But I think with regard to the greater numbers we see now, this is a function of the culture. If sin is being promoted and deviance is being promoted at high levels and it's ubiquitous throughout the culture, of course we're going to see more confused young people, just like we're seeing hugely rising numbers in gender-confused children and so-called homosexual, you know, gay, lesbian children. We're seeing the numbers rise because there is so much confusion and this is being promoted in the culture.
Yeah, and in the schools, they're being indoctrinated, they're being immersed, and Peter, there is frankly a whole lot of recruitment going on.
Absolutely, Jim. When you model deviance and perversion as the norm, of course we're going to see more of it, just like we see more violence when there's more violence in the movies, etc. And so, yes, I think what parents are going to have to do is they're going to have to take sort of aggressive efforts on their own to teach their own children what's right and wrong and to sort of give them a lot of strength, because at some point they are going to face this ideology and this very pushy movement in the culture.
Julie, thanks for the call. We're going next to John in Nashville, Tennessee. John, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Peter, you and I met many years ago in Western Springs, Illinois. I was at one of your rallies, and I had a videotape of an angry man who snapped one of the signs in half. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, if you need that video again as your ministry expands, let me know. I'll get it to you. But
yeah, please send it to me on our website. I mean, we have to chronicle this hate because they're accusing us of hate, and so when we have documented evidence, and I'm sure, Jim, you've got plenty over there at BCY America, of actual homosexual activists being truly hateful, that's valuable.
John, did you have a further question or comment?
I did. I want to know, Peter, how concerned are you about hate crime legislation based on, they can springboard, you know, the left's playbook is never let a big crisis go to waste. And if we remember, those Covington kids were the subject of all kinds of quote-unquote homophobic slurs. If they were to ban such language like that, they would come after the Christians. They would use that to come after the Christians. And
yeah, I think Jim alluded to it earlier, because Jim was saying how the misgendering aspect, they're already they're moving towards criminalizing misgendering. Now, understand what that means. That means if you're not joking, you just believe that Bruce Jenner is a man. And I will always believe that Bruce Jenner is a man, because that's how God made him. And he was not just a man. To me, when I was a kid, he was one of my heroes. He won the decathlon. He was on the Wheaties box. Remember all that? Yet if you call him a he and somebody hears you, you could be disciplined, whether it's at your job or in these very liberal cities. If you could have somebody file a complaint, it could cost you money. So they're already moving. It's not hate crime legislation so much as it's speech modification forced by the state. And also another thing, let's remember that when they criminalize these ex-gay therapies, this is the idea of helping children to have a natural heterosexual identity, when they criminalize that also is a threat to the First Amendment. That's a threat to people's autonomy to pursue their lifestyle that they want.
Tell you what, thank you for the call here. We are up against a break. Peter LaBarbera is our guest. We'll take more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. The American people have been involved in a systematic process of brainwashing for decades, and yet many of them have no idea. In fact, the majority of Americans have indeed been brainwashed. You think that's hyperbole or sensationalism? Absolutely not. The results are overwhelming. 58% of millennials want to live under some form of socialism. That doesn't happen overnight. That is a systematic process through our educational system, media, and pop culture. Over the next few weeks, I'll bring you our commentaries as we look at how do you brainwash a people. And would you be shocked that it's come from within our educational system, our pop culture, and our media? One way to brainwash a people is to remove leaders. Denigrate leaders and remove leaders and stereotype and marginalize and characterize leaders, particularly men. The brainwashing operation is well underway.
Yes, LGBT activism is on the increase. Peter LaBarber is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Going right back to the phone lines. Ashtabula, Ohio. Gerald, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. People, please listen to this. I am blind and hearing impaired. What about the people who is blind and hearing impaired and saying him or her in the one person when their voice is changed? Don't know the difference between a male and female.
Hmm.
Where is our protection? People, wake up. They're going to penalize us. Penalize all blind people and the hearing impaired. They're going to get to that.
Wow. Thank you, Gerald, for sharing. Peter, he brings up a very interesting but very valid point.
Yes, and there's so many things we're not even going to realize now how the consequences of this craziness in our culture, Jim. But I think what we must remember is that this is like a cult. This is a religion, a false religion to those who practice it, and they must, in their minds, force everybody to adhere to it because they are right and we are wrong. That's what they believe, and that's why they compare us to the KKK and to haters when we're not being hateful at all. We're just trying to honor God, but they don't care because they are wedded to their ideology.
Tony is calling next from Bridgeport. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Yes. The teachings of Jesus are that we are to be people who love. We act out of love, and these people are not acting out of love. My first impression is, you want to be intolerant of us? Well, guess what? We are definitely intolerant of you because of the Scripture. We teach the Scripture, and the Scripture is the Word of God. And that is the bottom line. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate your phone call. And Peter, on this topic of love, it is actually out of love that compels you to share the message you're sharing.
Right. We speak the truth in love. And yet they've redefined that as hate. In fact, Jim, we have to realize they redefined hate and they redefined love. When Obama said love is love as a slogan for homosexual so-called marriage, what could be more simplistic and evil than that? I mean, you can't redefine what marriage is in the name of love. That's absurd, and yet that's the kind of ideology we're facing. It's a lot of evil, but they use soft language and words like discrimination and equality, and they fool the masses.
Jim is our next caller from Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for bringing up.
Jim, right into the mouthpiece of your phone. We don't have a good connection.
Can you hear me?
As long as you speak in the mouthpiece of the phone, yes.
I am. Okay, hold on.
There you go. That's better.
I had on speakerphone, so that works. So.
Yep, this is better. Thank you.
All right. Yes. You guys are familiar with the analogy of the proverbial frog in the pot of water.
Yes.
And you start turning the heat up, and he doesn't know he's getting boiled. And this has spoken to me for quite a long time. And when I see this particular program on TV with Ellen DeGeneres, and I'm thinking, you know what, this is desensitizing people to this kind of lifestyle. And I would challenge any home that says they're a Christian, and they sit down and watch this show, and their children know what kind of lifestyle this lady represents. But they're setting their, they're part of the problem, not the solution.
Mm.
We need to be really careful about these things, because she's everywhere you, every time you look on TV, she's got this game show, she's got this and that, and she's desensitizing people to that kind of lifestyle.
Thank you, Jim, for the comments here today. Let's squeeze one last call in, and that's Laura in Watertown, South Dakota. Laura, you're on the air.
Yeah, regarding the bill up in front of the legislature, I just heard on our 12 o'clock local news station that the Chamber of Commerce now is involved in advocating opening up the bathrooms, and of course they are defending their stance in regards to economic development.
Always.
And then this Miss Owen out of Sioux Falls office is quoted as saying, now let's remember what all happened with North Carolina. So they're using that almighty dollar as the bait to sway economic development for the state of South Dakota.
Can I say something on that, Jim? Yeah, well, let me just first say that, Laura, people are still going to come to see Mount Rushmore. They're still going to come to South Dakota for pheasant hunting. People are still will be there. Yeah, go ahead,
but
Peter.
But I'd like to remind the South Dakota residents that it's not just out of Sioux Falls. I mean, there is a office in Watertown, Sioux Falls, Rapid City. This will have a trickle-down effect, and it's sickening. It's remember those saints and brothers and sisters that if you deny God before man, that he will deny you before his Father in heaven. So stay strong, persevere, keep praying. At least this is all being exposed, and we as the true believers in Christ really know what's going on. It's Satan behind it all.
Thank you, Laura. Watertown, South Dakota. Peter, your comments.
Oh, Jim, I just wanted to say thanks for the reminder from the caller that there's a huge corporate backing of this movement. And the movement is always trying to intimidate people. You know, oh, look what happened in Indiana and North Carolina. We have to stand up for the truth. And when it comes to this gender nonsense, I cannot believe that even 75%, it's probably more like 90% of Americans or more or higher would be opposed to the idea of, can you imagine, Jim, taking a child and allowing that child to pursue body disfiguring, transgender, you know, this pursuit of this crazy dream of becoming the opposite sex. And we have to remember which side is promoting that to children. It's the LGBTQ activist movement and their liberal allies. Those are the ones who are harming children, and we have to come back and defend these kids.
Thank you, Laura, again for the call. We're out of time. Peter LaBarbera is our guest here today. And, folks, there are so much more. I still have a stack of stories. I mean, we have this drag kid, Desmond. That's the headline from Pink News. Amazing mums defending gay bar performance. We got another 10-year-old boy dressed in drag, photographed with a lack of clothes individual. On and on these stories go. But, friends, we got to wake up to what's going on. Check out Peter's site, AmericansForTruth.com. He's holding a conference coming up in Edmond, Oklahoma on February 22nd and 23rd, the God's Voice Conference. Get more information, godsvoice.us. Peter, thank you for being on the front lines and staying abreast of so many critical issues.
Thank you. You as well. God bless, Jim.
And, folks, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. I hope we've whet your appetite, the necessity of praying for this nation.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.